Well, good evening, brothers and sisters. We're back on Tuesday night prayer talks. I think next Tuesday would probably be a kind of a the end of the series, if you will. We would pause this time, and we will see how the Lord would lead us going forward. I can only commit these talks or these speaking to the Lord. May the Lord use them to continue to remind us and to encourage us to pray. I really am grateful to the Lord, and I do have this kind of faith within me that this time, when I say this time, I mean in the last 50, 60 days now, the last 5 months, since we began this kind of corporate prayer or sign-up prayers, starting with unceasinglypray.org, and then continuing with beseeching.org. Not only is this something that, to my memory, we have never done before. In the first few weeks or first month, that prayer actually was global in nature, using Unceasingly Pray website. Then in these last 4 months, using 3 to 4 months, using beseeching.org, this would be mainly for the USA and North America. And as of last night, I always keep my eyes on this. As of last night, the number of signed up is now close to 11,000 brothers and sisters. I don't know who they are. I do not even know if they're, I know they're not all from this country, but I think most of the subscribers would be believers or saints from the USA. And these few days, I'm just considering and working with the brothers to come up with the prayer burdens for the month of October. The month of October. We do this 1 month at a time. And all these prayer burdens have to go through a process of fellowship, of editing, so they would be something that is proper and properly presented. And the Lord willing, starting in the month of October, we would really zero in on this country, on the USA. And now, of course, in view is this coming election on November the 3rd. And if you are following some of the news, you know, all the things that are happening, even now with this Supreme Court justice, this lady who just passed away, this justice who just passed away, that stirred up another kind of a situation. And to further divide this country. And so, all presidential elections are crucial. And likewise, this coming one. So, with all of these happening, and still with all the outward situation going on in this nation, I think the need for prayer is still there. very, very much. And so I hope that a good number of this 11,000 saints would still be praying on a daily basis, either by yourself or with two or three companions in an unceasing way, in a steadfast and diligent way. I really hope so. We need to pray for the throne to rule in this country. We need to pray for the leadership, the government of this land. We need to pray for society and the situation in society. We need to pray for the people of this country, that there would be, you know, some of you may remember in after 9/11, that terrible, terrible, you know, event. There was a bit of an awakening. I would even say a bit of a spiritual awakening across this country to cause people to turn to God, to cause people to have a hunger and seeking for meaning, for purpose, for the Lord. It was not long-lived, but nevertheless, those kind of events did stir up something. I think with what is happening now, we should pray that there would be people in this country who would have a deepened pursuit or seeking for what is real, for what is eternal. And we also, of course, need to pray for many other things related to the Lord's move. So in the coming weeks and months, we would like to really dedicate more specific and focused prayer for the USA. Of course, as you know, this entirely follows the burden that was released at the Labor Day conference for this country and for the Lord's fresh or new move in this country. I'm grateful to the Lord that He led us in this way and caused so many saints to sign up, to commit themselves to pray at this time. So I think collectively we're praying more, probably a lot more than before. And we're also praying as kind of one man, right? All the churches and all the saints. And all this is not a small thing. I hope we would persevere in this kind of intercession. Now, tonight, I just like to follow this week's prayer burden. This week's prayer burden is a kind of review of message three of the Labor Day Conference. The first part is on the matter of vitalization, and the second part would be on the energizing priesthood of the gospel. Of course, these two things are absolutely related. Without being vitalized, we won't be energized. And an energizing priest simply means a vitalized priest. And only a vitalized person can carry out the priesthood of the gospel. And this priesthood of the gospel is the most, the greatest need today in the Lord's recovery in this country. I'm not saying we don't need anything else. But I am saying at the present time, this is the greatest need. If you recall, in message one, there's this quote from Brother Lee. The greatest need of the Lord's recovery today is the increase. That is a very bold, very clear, very, you know, unmistakable statement. It is as plain as daylight. The greatest need of the Lord's recovery today is the increase. Of course, when we talk about increase, we're not talking about merely just a gospel campaign, just some kind of a evangelical movement, or just something in a mushroom kind of way, or in an artificial kind of way, just to stir up something. This increase that we're talking about is a normal kind of increase. It is a steady increase to bring forth the remaining fruit, not just fruit, but the much remaining fruit as materials for God's house, God's building. This is, of course, so that the Lord's recovery may grow as it should, that the expression of the Lord in his recovery would expand and not remain so small and not remain the same. And of course, this kind of increase will require much labor. The main thing is nothing Pentecostal or miraculous or quick, but it depends on the daily, normal, diligent, faithful toil and labor and work of all the brothers and sisters to bring this about. So I hope we would have the right view when we talk about the increase. And this kind of increase is the most desperate need today. And this is not only in the so-called heartland or the middle part of this country or the Bible Belt, although we are very much concentrating in those areas, but actually to all areas of this country, including the Bay Area, including Northern California. That's why I like to say, and I mean this, that every church in the recovery should be a GTCA church. So all 30-some churches in Northern California, even though you are not on the list of these 10 GTCA churches, but in fact, all the time, we should be GTCA churches, gospelizing, truthizing, and churchizing. Even this matter of truthizing, I'm very burdened these days. In the 90s, especially after Brother Lee was given the high peak of the divine revelation, don't think for a moment that is just some term that Brother Lee made up, you know, high peak. No, that is really the high peak, the consummate revelation. Based on the divine revelation, the word of God concerning God's economy, God's plan. And so that high peak of the divine revelation would be given to Brother Lee before he died is not a small thing. And when that was released, there were a few years at that time, Brother Lee was most burdened for the release of the truth that the Lord has given to us, including these high peak truths, that he felt a great, great sense of obligation to the Christians, to all of God's children in Christianity and everywhere, that these truths, these riches, these deep matters were not just given to us only for us in the recovery to enjoy, but that this storehouse of Joseph should be opened up to feed the entire world, as in Joseph's days, where there is a huge, huge famine. And so, Brother Lee did one time say that all the life studies are given for the time of the Great Tribulation, the last 3.5 years, when all the Christians and Jews would be under persecution. But God's people would be nourished for 3.5 years. And he said that that wilderness was referred to in Revelation may be the United States. And the nourishment that they received may just be the life studies in those days. Everyone will be after not the junk food anymore, but the real food, the real spiritual food. He said that. But I think, well, the burden is not to wait until the Great Tribulation to get out these truths. It may be a little bit too late. Today, brothers, today, we have an obligation to all of God's children. And there are many, many millions of them in this country, God's children, who are absolutely famished, who are absolutely undernourished, who are absolutely in poverty. So Brother Lee would have this to say that, actually, I don't care for the increase. Of course he cared for the increase. But he said, I care that all of God's children may be fed, supplied, and nourished by the truth that the Lord has given to us. So I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, whether you have that sense or not, that sense of responsibility or not. I feel, as a rule, we have not done our share. Forget about the world, but in this country. We have Bibles for America, we have Rhema, we have life study broadcasts, we have, you know, various things. But how much are we doing yet in the churches, in our neighborhood, communities, cities, to spread these riches, in a sense, without the expectation that everyone who receive and enjoy these riches will come into the recovery, but just to feed that kind of spirit of liberality, that kind of spirit of generosity, that kind of a spirit that kind of largeness of heart that Brother Lee displayed in those last years, especially. So the truthization of this country still has to be done. Please pray about this. We are now even making some headway with the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C. They're open for us to even have exhibits in that museum. It's a great museum, beautiful museum, on the Mall in D.C., the Museum of the Bible, with many, many visitors. And now we're working out a way to have an exhibit of Watchman Nee, and then likely then an exhibit of the Chinese Bible, how it came about. And the hope is that eventually we can even have an exhibit of the Recovery Version. And by the way, the Recovery Version Bible is permanently displayed in the Museum of the Bible now. And my hope before the Lord is there would be a way that not only Witness Lee's name would be cleared. Right now, people all appreciate Watchman Nee very much, but still skeptical concerning Brother Lee. Fact of the matter is the publication of Brother Lee exceeds that of Watchman Nee. And what the Lord has shown to Watchman Nee, Witness Lee, is much more advanced and consummate compare to what he has shown to Watchman Nee. Of course, without what the Lord shown to Watchman Nee, Brother Lee would not have a shoulder to stand on. But one began, the other consummated, as it were. It is really one ministry. And it is not right that only half of that ministry is received. The other is somewhat rejected. I am very, very burdened for this. I don't know the name, the manager or curator of this museum, in talking to our brothers, just say his top book, his top Christian read is Watchman Nee's The Breaking of the Outer Man and the Release of the Spirit. This is the curator of that museum. Really. And of course, we showed them about that in the Congressional Record, you recall. It was Watchman Nee, right, some years ago, was a place in that record. But we must break through with Brother Lee's material, Brother Lee's publications. We must break through in that. And there's still work to do. There's still work to do. Brothers, even we may be small, the truth we possess is not small. We are limited, but this truth that the Lord has committed to us is unlimited. We may be a few, but this food that has been given to us can feed millions and millions of all of God's children. I hope that we would all in the recovery, every saint, would have this kind of vision, this kind of sense of obligation and responsibility in these coming days and years. So, brothers, this new move of the Lord, this new advance of the Lord, is a kind of a multi-prong advance in all these areas. But tonight, I need to come back to my burden very quickly. All this is good and well, but who will do this? What kind of saint, what kind of believer can carry this out to gospelize, to truthize, to churchize this land of America? It cannot be just common, ordinary, routine kind of believers. It has to be vital believers, vital, living, active, and overcoming believers. Not only co-workers, so-called, not only leading brothers, so-called, but the saints, you and me. These are the ones that will constitute this priesthood of the gospel. These are the ones that are not just believers in name or just Christians nominally, not just brothers and sisters carrying on a very routine maintenance church life, but brothers and sisters, by the grace of God, are what? Are living. They are alive. They are, to use today's beseeching.org portion, burning in the spirit, serving the Lord. They live an overcoming life. They live in a state of revival. You say, is this possible? Absolutely, it is possible. This is actually normal. The normal Christian life is simply an overcoming life, overcoming so many things, you know, of course, overcoming sin, overcoming the world, overcoming our flesh, overcoming ourselves, overcoming our individualism, and so on. But not only so, but overcoming something else as well, overcoming deadness, overcoming barrenness, right? Overcoming lukewarmness, overcoming even the degraded religion, Christian religion of the day. To overcome, just like the call in the seven epistles in Revelation 2 and 3, he who overcomes, gains the background of all the degradation, the call was to overcomers. And overcomers, brothers and sisters, are not elitist Christians. They're not supermen and superwomen. These are normal, living, and active saints. And if we cannot be this, then why would this, these things be in the Word of God? Why would the promises be here? Why would the call be here? It is because it is more than possible by God's grace, by His Spirit. And so today, dear saints, we all have to aspire. In fact, I would say we all have to determine. We all have to vow to be such believers. Anything less than that is not normal and not up to standard. And it is absolutely possible if we would make up our mind, so to speak, we would have this purpose in our heart, that we would have this great searchings of heart, and we would have this great resolution of heart to start with. And with that, we will simply consecrate ourselves or make a vow to the Lord to be today's Nazarite. Am I right? And to live by that vow to Him as a absolutely consecrated person. Then with that, we all need to live a life of an overcomer. We all need to live a life of a vital member of the in the body of Christ. Now, then you say, what kind of life is this? What is a vital life? What are the factors of this vital life? Well, there are a number of things. These things are not what you would call deep or that profound. In fact, when I mention this, you would say, my goodness, I know all these things. Well, brothers, to know is one thing, but to day after day live in them, as Paul say, practice them. Practice these things is another matter. Brothers and sisters, the Christian life, the normal, overcoming, vital Christian life is a result of practice, of continual practice, until this life becomes yours. You just start to live this way. Do not have the idea that it is miraculous. It is miraculous in a sense, but not in the way we think. You wake up one day and you're overcoming. That will not happen. You overcome because you live a certain life. You practice to live a certain life. Even you fail, even you're weak, you pick yourself up, you go on, you continue your practice until you live a certain way. Of course, all this is with the Lord's help. All this is by the supply of bountiful supply of the Spirit. All this is, you know, with the divine element, right? Not merely by ourselves. But I have to stress this matter of practice very much, because otherwise we become passive. We just wait. We just hope for situation to be better. We hope our environment will be smoother. We hope this and that will happen. Then I will be overcoming. Then I will be fruit bearing. Then I will be this or that. It does not happen that way. Look, these 150, 60, however many days of prayer. If we did not have these days of prayer, we won't be praying like we are today. We've been practicing, brothers and sisters, haven't we? We're making ourselves pray every day. We're forcing ourselves. We're disciplining ourselves. We're habituating ourselves to pray daily, whether we like it, we don't like it, whether it's rain, whether it's shine, whether, whatever the case may be, we plow on. We continue to exercise our spirit to pray. And then, I tell you, you become a praying person, a normal praying Christian. That is not miraculous. That is, as a result, a very natural and logical result of the effort you put in to build up this kind of proper prayer life. So tonight I'm just burdened for this matter of vitality in the churches where you are. Let us resolve to be vital. Let us decide to be vital. Let us condemn our invitality. Let us turn away from that kind of living. Let us resolve to be living and burning for the Lord. Don't say that is just human strife. Don't say that is just human effort. Brothers, it takes effort. It takes effort and endeavor, right? To live in a certain way. Even people in the world, they don't live a certain way without a lot of practice and forcing themselves and building up their character and integrity and so on. They become that kind of person. The same thing in this spiritual realm. Now, I would just mention some factors. Which factors that Brother Lee testified in the last years of his life to his own family? Brother Lee spoke to his family and told his family as a testimony how he lived. How he lived. And I hope, I think we can share this with you. And again, I don't know whether it's in the collected works or not, but he spoke this to his own family members. And I gave it to some brothers or some full-timers. That is to what? That is live a life of contacting the Lord, or that means to be in fellowship with the Lord, right? Brothers, it's just like that. You say, goodness, that's simple. Don't you have something more profound? Well, I don't. I absolutely don't. This is profound enough. To live a life in the Lord's presence, in fellowship with Him, this is the Christian life. This is the Christian life. How can we not have a life with the Lord and be normal and be vital? It's impossible. It's impossible. It's that simple. to have a life with the Lord, or a walk with the Lord, a living with the Lord, a living that is not apart from Him, detached from Him, separated from Him, but a living that is in union and communion, in oneness with Him, one spirit with Him. This is the life of vitality. And this requires what? Some different things. This requires us, one of the best practices is every day, especially in the morning, we would spend time with Him. Right? Is that too elementary, brothers? A certain sizable local church in this country did a survey, anonymous, of the saints in the recovery. Turned out 13% of the saints in that church contact the Lord in the morning. 1-3. 1-3. I think that is not unusual. We can even carry on a so-called church life. We can even come to the meetings. We can even engage in some services and coordination. But our life is not that vital. It's not with the Lord. We're carrying on something. We love the Lord. We're for the Lord. We're for the Lord's recovery. But we're not living with Him. We're not vital. You see, we even know an amount of truth. We do. And thank God for that. But we're not living and vital day by day. We don't even have a time with the Lord to pray to Him, to contact Him, to touch Him in His word, to breathe Him in, to be revived every morning. Or if we do it, it's a couple of minutes or something like that. Not substantial. And it's not because we don't have time. It's because we have not have a habit, build up this habit to be with the Lord. And another point is, how about His word, brothers? You know, if we are not a Christian in the word, right, in the word of God, then how can we be vital and living? The word is the word of life. And especially we're talking about praying the word of God. Praying the word of God. To eat, to drink, to be supplied, to be energized. So how about that? How about these are the basic things for us to be vital. These are not high, deep things out of our reach. These are things that if we do every day genuinely, it will keep us in a vital state. Another thing, that is during the day, to maintain the touch with the Lord. You may have a morning time. That's good, wonderful. But how about during the day to be with the Lord? Always with the Lord. Walking in spirit, right? Walking by the Spirit, right? And not by our flesh or by ourselves. Setting our mind on the Spirit. This is a daily walk, the daily matter. Whether we have a job, whether we are raising children, it does not matter. We just live this way. Then we'll be vital. Another point, brothers, very important, is our dealing with sin. sinful things, dealing with sin, dealing with our conscience. Am I right? How can we have a unclear conscience, a callous conscience, a conscience that is not function, or a conscience that is laden with offense and unconfessed sin, a guilty conscience? Brothers and sisters, we cannot be living if we are like that. We need to deal with sin by confession, by repentance, by taking the Lord's blood whenever we sin. I mean, we all sin. To say we have no sin, we make him a liar. We ourselves is a liar. But thank the Lord, we have a righteous one and we have a faithful one. If we confess our sins, he will forgive and cleanse. Don't think this is elementary. This is 101. You may be a PhD. You still need to breathe. And I am of the opinion that the condition of the churches is not because today we don't hold to the truth and so on. It is because in these basic fundamental things, we are not that what? Practice. We're not that strong. We're not healthy. And so we're in a perpetual weakened state. Just weak, flat, like a flat tire, not burning, unable to carry out something. We're just kind of riding along in a maintenance mode. So to deal with sin. And another thing is, right, even to read the word of God and to be enlightened by that word and to walk by the light that you receive. This is a very basic thing, right? To obey the word, to receive the shining from the word, and to live according to that light, right? And another thing is important for vitality, that is not to be independent or individualistic or detached, but always attached with some saints, blended with them, to live with companions and living as a member, only a member in the body. The supply of the Lord often comes from the body and other members of the body. And so we need to keep the oneness with the brothers and sisters. We need to remain attached with the saints and not become independent. Am I right? And then you know, even these things that we have covered before in Northern California a few years back, you know, that those verses, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, unceasingly pray. In everything, give thanks. You know, this is the will of God. These are common verses, basic verses. But brothers, herein is the secret of vitality. Are we rejoicing in the Lord? Rejoice. Paul says, again, I say, rejoice. A joyful life. The kingdom of God is joy in the Holy Spirit. And of course, you have to enjoy the Lord. You have to have the Lord with you to have this kind of joy. Am I right? Praising, the singing, the praying, all these are very practical things that we maintain during the day to have the joy of the Lord. Um, giving thanks, you know, in all things. Don't think this is a little thing. You know, it is actually a big thing. You know what that means for a person to give thanks in all things? That means he accepts everything from the environment. You know, the environment in Romans 8 is all things. All things work together for those who love God and who are according to his purpose. So these are the all things in the environment. They are not depressed by the environment. They are not overcome by the environment. Rather, they what? They give thanks in all the environment. Whatever comes their way, they thank the Lord. Because they know that all things is for their confirmation to the image of Christ. They have that view. So they don't complain. They don't murmur. They don't... They're not like this. They give thanks. What an overcoming life that is. And and of course, they don't quench the spirit and they do not despise prophesying and so on. But brothers and sisters, tonight, just on this matter of being a vital member, a vital brother, a vital sister in a local church, is what the Lord needs today. When we all live this vital living, and with many saints, we all live this vital living together, then the Lord will have his way to carry out the gospel, to carry out the care for the believers, to carry out the shepherding of the saints, to carry out so many things today, because we are energized, we are supplied, we are living, and we're active. Now, just one last point. All of this that I mentioned, dealing with the Lord, dealing with the Word, dealing with the sin, dealing with ourselves, dealing with the environment, when I say dealing, I don't mean something bad, right? I mean, dealing, the word deal means you do something with regards to a person or a thing. You take certain action. That's what I mean by dealing. Handling, right? All these things, there's a common thread. That common thread is prayer. Is prayer. That's why unceasingly pray. Brothers, we cannot stop praying. It is by prayer that we maintain this life with the Lord. It is by prayer that we have this morning revival. It is by prayer that we walk in spirit in the day. Right? It is by prayer that we enjoy his word, turning it from logos to rhema to become our food. It is by prayer that we can give thanks to him in all things. It is by prayer that we praise him. It is by prayer that we rejoice. So, saints, the prayer life is not over here, then I have something else here, something else here. No, the prayer life is that thread, that common thread, that thread through every facet of our Christian life, every single facet of our Christian life, right? Confession is a matter of prayer. Repentance is a matter of prayer. Our dealing with the Lord is a matter of prayer. And of course, our supplication in intercession, more specifically, is a matter of prayer. No wonder the church is the house of prayer. Not in a formal way. It's just our whole living. Whole living is born by prayer. So I just ask the Lord to help us all to exercise in this way until we have a strong spirit. All of us have a strong praying spirit, a spirit of prayer, right? That is a vital person, a vital brother and sister. So I speak this tonight for all of our encouragement. I did not say anything so deep, so profound, but my brothers and sisters, if we would do this, we would all live this way, do this day by day by day. We will be a Christian alive. We would be a vital member in the church. May the Lord do a new thing in this, really in this country, in all the churches. It is possible. I stop here. Amen.